You know, Missio, this week you went and did it again. You went and did it again. You had me in a place where I was humbled to a place of honest just tears that God would allow me to lead a community like this. You had us in a place where our staff team was texting and just going, our community is amazing. Like, what is it that, again, God would allow us to be a part of such a community that wants to live faithfully, that wants to live out the things that God teaches us, not just talk about it. Last week, I'd sent an email and shared with you guys that through our partnership with Salem for Refugees, through a partnership with Anya and Doug Holcomb that we've had for years, that they were receiving a family of 10 from Afghanistan, and there was an opportunity to love and support them. And within like 24 hours, you guys gave $1,000 worth of Walmart e-gift cards so that that family could receive those and be able to go buy food and needed supplies for starting life over at Walmart. And we had told you when we sent that out, you guys can cheer for that, by the way. That's like $1,000. Anya and Doug were blown away and they didn't expect that. Again, shout out to Ann Kwa for the idea of, hey, let's do the e-gift cards because that might allow us to do it quicker. We also had told you that connected to that, there was gonna be an opportunity to do a next step. And so Joel had sent out information and said, there's also these welcome kits that we wanna do because they literally, refugees come here literally with nothing. And some of you, again, got to go to the airport pickup and there'll be others that come. We've learned that not only have they received a family of 10, but there's also gonna be about 21 other refugees that they'll receive. And so regardless of what your position or stance on American militarization is around the world, as a disciple of Jesus, we know that no person is illegal, all created in the image of God, and every person deserves a right to safety, to love, to care, right? To have a home, a place where they can experience dignity and experience belonging. And so there's these welcome kits that we also are putting together that help create like a specific room. So whether it's a kitchen or a bedroom or for babies. And Joel put up a list on Amazon, and within 24 hours, you guys bought everything to fill up 3 welcome kits, I believe. Yeah, cheer for that as well. And so we're doing another 2 to 3 kits because with 31 people or more than that coming, there's gonna be need for it. And we just figured, let's do it while it's in our forefront of our minds, right? To act out this faithfulness, to act out this thing we've been learning. And so I share that to say, you haven't missed it yet. If you haven't had a chance, if you went on the Amazon link and it was bought up, there's new ones that just got put up and there's more kits that we're gonna put together. Again, in order to help these families feel welcomed, to feel cared for, and so that they can settle in. And so Missio, thank you for that. Thanks for your faithfulness. I think there should be a slide with like a QR code. If there's not, you'll be able to find a QR code on the website that will allow you, or on the app, that will allow you to find out where the list is, what to buy, all that stuff on Amazon. But just thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for being faithful, for being obedient, for in a season like this, looking beyond yourself, looking to Jesus and looking to the world and saying, where does this all connect? How do I fit into this picture and this puzzle of what God is wanting to do or giving us a chance to do in this moment? You know, and honestly, this last couple days, and it's caused me to think about and ask 2 questions. In light of how we responded to that, and in light of just thinking about fall and where we are, I started asking 2 questions. First one was this. What would the church look like if everyone in the church used their God-given gifts and talents to love and equip the rest of the church in such a way that the entire church became more like Jesus? What would it look like? What would our church look like if everyone within it used their God-given gifts and talents to love and equip the rest of the church in such a way that the entire church became more like Jesus? And my second question connected to that then was this. And what if our whole church began to look and live more like Jesus? How much more would our neighborhoods and our cities look a bit more like heaven? A bit more like places of redemption and wholeness. The places that we long for. You guys ever ask yourselves that question? Or those questions? Something similar? I've wrestled with that this week. In a good way. Again, because of the way that we responded and also thinking about all that God has called us to be. When I look around this room and I think about those of you at home, online, on Zoom, and I think about the community that is the Missio family, what would it look like, guys? What would it look like? Well, this morning as we kick off, yeah, just our fall rhythms, our fall season, I want to open up a passage that we've looked at over a number of times probably, and as if you're a follower of Jesus, you probably are familiar with it. I want to look at a simple passage and talk about the implication of that for our community. And it's in the Gospel of Mark. If you have your Bible, if you want to open it, otherwise it'll be up on the screen, but I want to look at this call that Jesus gave to his first disciples, and I want us to talk about and wrestle with a little bit today of what that might mean for us today. So in the Gospel of Mark, four simple verses, 16 to 20, it goes like this. It says, passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and they followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Again, a passage I'm sure you're familiar with. I'm sure that you've heard. And that statement of Jesus, that call of Jesus, the invitation of Jesus, come and follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. When I look at that statement of Jesus, I see three things there. I believe it's a three-part call that Jesus gave to his first disciples and that Jesus gives to us today and anyone else who would long for and respond to his invitation to be a disciple. The three-part call of Jesus is this. It's a call first and foremost to relationship. Come and follow me. Come be with me. And I will make you. It's a promise of transformation. Fishers of men. An invitation to join him in his mission and his work of redeeming and making the world whole again. A call, a promise, and a vision are all withheld within this, I'll try not to move too much, are all held within these words of Jesus, I believe. And what we see is that it's a personal call. It's a call to personal relationship within the context of what? Of community. Right? It wasn't just to one of them alone. It was to James and John together, and then it was to the brothers afterwards, to Andrew. And we know that it goes beyond that, and he ends up calling 12 to him to follow him in this way, and it multiplies beyond that as well. But it's this personal call to relationship within the context of community. And it's a promise of holistic personal transformation. Here's who you are and what you are now, and I love you as you are, and yet there's a greater intention and purpose that God created you for. So come be with me in relationship personally within the context of community, and that will help you become who you actually are created to be. Again, not because there's necessarily anything wrong with you right now, but you just aren't yet the fullness of who God created you to be. And if you do that with me, there's this vision I hold in front of you that other people too, will come and join. They'll be attracted to this thing. There'll be a beauty about this relationship, about this community, that there's a vision of a holistic transformation of the world. And if you're a follower of Jesus and if you've read the Gospels at all, you know that what happens after this call to this life of discipleship, that Jesus takes them on almost a three-year journey, this epic journey, where they learn about who he is, they learn about who the Father is, they learn about the Father's heart and the Father's purposes and the Father's intention, and therefore they learn about who they are, about themselves, and they learn about what does it look like to live out the Father's will and the Father's way of love within the context of the world and the life and the day and the time that they're living in. And I see as I read this passage and as I read the Gospels and think again about this epic journey of almost three years that they go through, this call for Christian discipleship, and I think it's this. I've kind of boiled it down this way, that Christian discipleship is about being with Jesus and calling others to join us in practicing a way of life in which we embody or flesh out the life of Jesus in the context of the world as we journey to fulfill God's mission together. That Christian discipleship is about being with Jesus first and foremost, but also then calling others to join us in the practicing a way of life, this way of love, in which we embody or we flesh out the life of Jesus within the context of the world as we journey to fulfill God's mission together. And as I think about this definition, as I think about the Gospels, I think about Jesus' call, I'm reminded, and I want us to be reminded, that church, discipleship's a way of life. Discipleship is a way of life. It's not an intellectual assimilation of ideas or a program. You guys hear me? Discipleship's a way of life because discipleship is about relationship, an invitation to a relationship of love with the living God who humbled himself took on the form of a man, entered into our world, our context, humbled him so much even to the point of becoming human and taking on our sin, to the point of death, death on a cross, right? That's the relationship. That's the good news relationship we've been invited into. And so discipleship is a way of life. It's not intellectual assimilation to those theological things that I just spoke of. But it's relationship, which leads to a way of life in relationship with the person of Jesus Christ. Discipleship, too, is about then inviting other people to become whole again, just as we're in the process of becoming whole. It's inviting other people to be more like Jesus, just as we're in the process of becoming more like Jesus. Again, that's not a program, y'all. That's the work of grace. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's a work of relationship. It's about inviting people to come along with us in this journey of overcoming destructive habits and building life-giving habits, even as we're in that same process together with Jesus. Discipleship takes place both in the sanctuary, but also in the street. Discipleship takes place in the classroom, but also in the living room, or maybe in our context, the backyard, right? It's been a while since I've had somebody in my living room, to be honest. But we hang out in the backyard, we hang out in the front yard, we hang out in the garage, we hang out in a nice, you know, open air, safe space, right? And we're going to talk some more about the context we're living in, because I do believe discipleship happens within the context within which we're living in. And so that's important. We'll need to talk about that. And discipleship happens, we see here in this invitation of Jesus, that discipleship happens when we're on mission together. Notice this wasn't just Jesus say, come and be with me, come and follow me, period, done. Or come and be with me and I'm going to transform you, period, done. No, it's come and be with me, the call, and I will make you, the promise of transformation, fishers of men, into a people who are fulfilling my mission of redemption and healing and restoration in this world with me. This vision of life that you and I all long for. Something far grander, far more beautiful, far more purposeful than the other little visions that this world will try to sell us on. Discipleship happens when we're on mission together, when we're joining God in the renewal of all things. And here's the thing that I've been thinking about too, is that if we want to be disciples, or if we want to disciple others or want to be disciples, example's not just one thing in the equation. Example's actually everything. And if you think about the journey that Jesus walked, and they walked, disciples walked for 3 years almost, right? It was exemplary. It was done by example. It was life on life, again, in multiple spaces, in multiple venues, in multiple sizes, and it was life on life. It's relationship. I think the other thing I see here from this context of who Jesus called his very first disciples is that a person doesn't need to have any structural authority, no official titles, no certain education, no office, no certain socioeconomic status to be a disciple of Jesus, or then therefore to go and make a disciple of Jesus. Jesus took very common, simple people. In some regards, you'd almost even say like the outcasts of the day to a degree. And it was to them, by grace, he said, come and follow me, and I will make you into something that you currently are not. Those who change the world in partnership with me, as you understand the love of the Father, the vision and the heart of the Father, come on, let's go and do this together. So you don't need anything special to be a disciple of Jesus or to be a world changer with Jesus. But I think you do need to be a person that is intentional in responding to this invitation of Jesus. And so today, may I say, what I want to talk about actually is intentionality in spaces of discipleship in our current and modern context, because that's important. So I think a person must be intentional about their spiritual formation if they're going to grow and mature in relationship with Jesus and become more like him the way that he promised and said he would. Because on one hand, you could read this and go, well, Jesus, you promised that you would transform me, and so that's all on you, done. And yet what we see here is they had to respond, didn't they? They heard Jesus' words, and they had to then respond to it. They had to do something intentional in response to that. And what they did was actually quite radical. For these guys to drop their nets, it says in verse 18, it says, and they immediately left their nets and they followed him. They actually did something pretty radical in the day. Something that would say to their dads to a degree, sorry, I'm not following you anymore, I'm following this other random guy who I just met. It's them saying to themselves, okay, I know that this is the skills I have. I know this is where I'm usually comfortable. I know this is what I know. I know that I can guarantee and put my life on the weight of this training and this skill and this set all I have, but I'm actually going to let go of all of that, and I'm going to place my trust and my hope in something else or someone else. I'm used to fending for me and doing it in this place that I know and understand, but I feel this call, this vision. There's been this grace given to me that I can't help but respond to. And they did it. And so I want to talk about that this morning a little bit. See, an unintentional versus intentional discipleship and spiritual formation. So here's something that I think you guys would all agree with me on. To be human is to be dynamic, is it not? To be human is to be dynamic, which means we're constantly changing. We actually just sung a song that said, though the seasons change, God, your love remains. We could also say, though the seasons change, they're changing me and I'm changing with it, right? To be human is to be dynamic. It's to be a person in flux, to be changing. It's to be a person that is being formed. You and I are being formed right now and every day by the things around us. We're either being formed for good or we're being formed for bad. We're being formed for light or formed for darkness. We're either being formed intentionally or unintentionally. Anybody tracking with me? Right? To be human is to be dynamic. It's to long for relationship. It's to be in a place where we are changing. And the question for us, I believe, as disciples, in every context and in every season, is, am I being intentional, or is it just unintentional, haphazard, the way that I believe that this transformation that Jesus promised is going to happen in my life? So what does it look like for us to be intentional about who we are and who we are becoming? About who we are and what we're doing in the context of this world that God has called us to live in as followers of his son, Jesus Christ. Anybody with me? Yeah, half, couple? All right, Zoom, you there? So here, I want to put up two graphs. And this is a graph that my spiritual director and I have looked at many, many times. And what I found out this week, actually, is that this graph was created by John Mark Comer and his team at Bridgetown over a number of years of process. He and I have the same spiritual director. And so I've always talked about it with my spiritual director, and I thought he created it. And I found out this week that John Mark and his team did. So I want to give credit there and honor that. But here's this graph. Unintentional discipleship, or unintentional spiritual formation, agreeing that we're all human, we're all in process, we're all on track to becoming someone or something. Unintentional spiritual formation would look like this. Here's my environment, and my environment is the core. And that environment is what shapes me and molds me. Interact here a little bit. What's the current environment that we're living in? Just speak words that come to your mind. There's no right or wrong answer. What's the environment we're living in? What would you guys say?
Fear.
Fear. Thank you. Uncertainty. Thank you. What else? Division. What else? I heard something, but I can't make it out. But you're right, probably. What else? Social distancing. What else? You're right. You guys are all right. And those are the things, if we wake up and I just let my environment, the environment that I'm living in 2021, inform me and mold me and shape me and be the primary core voice of my spiritual formation, what type of person do you think I'm going to become? What do you think the stories that I believe at the top are going to be? They're going to be about fear. They're going to be about division. They're going to be about, I got to keep my distance. They're going to be about the other thing that other person said that's right that I couldn't hear. It's going to be about all of that stuff. And so how's that going to cause me to go and enter into the relationships that are down in the bottom right of that triangle? I'm going to go into these relationships thinking, instead of seeing them as an image bearer of God, I'm going to go into that relationship and go, do you believe the same thing as me? Did you vote the same way I did? Are we masks or vaccines? Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're going to go into these things, and it's going to be the one-upmanship. It's going to be the right or wrong. It's going to be who's who of who's who. And then you think about the habits that form and come out of an environment that is molding and shaping you based out of fear, out of division, out of fighting, out of war, out of racism, out of all, you name it. What's the habits that are going to come out of that? You guys have heard me over the last year talk about different times where I've wrestled with some of my own bad habits and the way God's called me on it, called me up to something greater. Because I've allowed the environment to be the place I'm going, I just want to unplug, run, hide, get away from this. You and I are human, which means you and I are dynamic, which means you and I are being formed right now in every moment by the things around us. Whether we are aware of it or not, and I hope this morning you understand and reminded you are. And so how do we do something other than this unintentional spiritual formation. Because again, this is shaping us over time and through our experiences that come out of this environment, you and I are being formed and shaped. And so let's look at the intentional spiritual formation graph. See, at the heart of the intentional spiritual formation graph is the Holy Spirit. Because the core of this intentional graph would be to say that Christian discipleship happens when we seek to live in the love of the Father, walking in unison with the Holy Spirit as we seek to follow the Son in our everyday lives, in community and on mission. And that can still happen in our context. That can still happen in 2021 amidst an environment of fear, of social distancing, of division, of all. Do you guys get the picture? And what happens at the top, the thing at the top, that when I'm entrusted to the Holy Spirit and I'm living in line and in step with the Holy Spirit, seeking the heart of God in this, I look at the Word of God, which is at the top, teaching. And I need to let the Word of God feed me and the Holy Spirit lead me in response. You guys, the Word of God is eternal. The issues that we're up against are new. The Word of God is eternal, and it may not speak directly about all the issues we're facing, but it does speak directly to the issues we're facing. You guys tracking me? That's one of the things that we believe, is that the Word of God is alive, that the Word of God is breathing, that the Word of God is living, that Jesus is the living Word, and that He's resurrected. He's not dead. He's alive, and He's given me His Spirit. And I can come to Him, and I can sit at His feet. I can sit under His teaching. And when I say sit under teaching, I don't mean just mine. I mean you sitting at the feet of the living Christ, allowing Him to teach you, because that's what a disciple is. It's a learner of a rabbi, of a teacher. So to be intentional about that. And it happens then in community, as it happens when we join with a community of people who choose to do life together, who develop a rhythm of life together, in which we engage in spiritual disciplines or practices, as it says in the bottom left, which enable us to live out our calling in the world for the sake of the world in the way of Christ. Church, Christian discipleship, it's learning to call out what the Holy Spirit has put in other people. If the core of my intentional spiritual formation is, again, seeking the heart of God in the way of the Spirit as I follow Jesus, it's then learning how within community to look at one another and to call out what I see in other people by the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit deposit in others? Disciples encourage, they comfort, they challenge one another to live by faith in this intentional way, in this intentional process. And Christian discipleship involves ministering to one another, being intentional in our formation through praying together, fighting injustice together, studying Scripture together, being on mission together. Just a pause and a check-in, not for guilt's sake, not for any sake other than to encourage and call you up. What's your spiritual formation been like this week? Intentional or unintentional? What's your spiritual formation been like in this pandemic? Intentional or unintentional? Again, let grace inform that answer, not guilt, not... Because you see, I got a text this week and somebody said, Dominic, I'm laughing at your prescient statements at the end of 2020 about how when the calendar ticks over to 2021, things aren't just going to change and the world's not going to be all just better. And my response to them was simply just, I wish I wasn't right. I wish that statement wasn't so prescient. Y'all, here we are, 3/4 of the way through 2021. And if you're still in a mode, in a mindset that is saying, oh, I just can't wait till things go back to normal, or just when this pandemic ends, or just when all the division and the strife and all the stuff you guys mentioned about the environment, when that just stuff all ends, I'll be able to go back and get into my rhythms, and I'll be able to go back and get into normal life. I'll be able to go back. And again, I say that not for guilt's sake, but out of grace to say, church, we gotta wake up and realize, I don't think this is all going away anytime soon. I'll say it again and hope it's not so prescient, but I don't think the calendar is just going to tick over on December 31st, 2021 to January 1, 2022, and we're going to wake up and this world is going to go, yes, we're back to 2019. No, the environment is continuing to move forward, because just as much as human life is about being dynamic and changing, the world itself that God put in motion is spinning and is in orbit and it is dynamic and it is changing. And yes, I believe He is Lord of all and God over all of it, and He is totally in control. He has not left it. And yet He has given us as humans so much authority and so much power and so much entrustment as to what happens in this spinning world which He created and loves.
And we've not stewarded it well. And so we are where we are today because for too long we have been too unintentional about what is going on in my heart and my mind and my soul. As a humanity, we have said the body and my desires and my pleasure and everything going on right now is important. And we've forgotten about we are moving towards something. There is a trajectory which we are moving towards. And the things that I do now, the things that I think now, the things that I input now, they're impacting and transforming and changing me. And what I am becoming, the world around me is becoming too. Has your spiritual formation been just of the unintentional kind? Or are you living with an intention as a disciple of Jesus, mindful of the teaching that is going into your heart and your mind, mindful of the community that is around you and the way they speak into you, and mindful of the habits and the practices that you are living and how you are or not engaged in living out the way of Jesus in 2021? Again, I hope you hear my heart in grace and in love for you this morning. So intentional discipleship and formation, it takes place in community, in personal relationship with Jesus, as we remember that we're called to a higher purpose, the mission of God. And I believe that discipleship can happen, and this is what I want to talk about to you today. Discipleship can happen, and this intentional spiritual formation can happen in four different spaces of belonging. There's a man named Joseph Myers, and he wrote a book called The Search to Belong. He wrote it in partnership with a sociologist named Edward Hall. And they defined four spaces in which we can find a sense of belonging and a sense of different environments that help create this intentional process for us. Formation that is done by the work of the Spirit, the work of God, the work of Christ, the grace in our lives, but also us in partnership responding. And those four spaces are this. There's public space, there's social space, there's personal space, there's intimate space. I'm just going to walk through these and share a little bit about them. Public space is this. Public space is where we are today, right? Public space is a space where we're sharing a common experience in a larger space, like a public worship service or a city gathering, a regional gathering. I mean, again, there's public spaces, like a Blazer game or whatever, you know, like those. That's a public space too. You guys get it, a festival, a public space. We need those. We need public spaces. From a biblical standpoint or looking at scripture in the Gospels, where do we see Jesus and his disciples doing this? It's when they gathered in places like the temple or when they gathered on the hill with the crowds and he taught and he preached there. It's spaces like this that through worship, through hearing the word, through prayer in this type of space, that this space can be impactful in how it reshapes us to inhabit God's story in our everyday lives. These places help remind us, again, that we're part of that bigger story. Hopefully I'm doing that for you this morning. Is reminding you of the bigger story, the grander narrative that God has put in place in this world, embodied in Christ and invited you into as a disciple. After that, there's the social space. Social space is where we select a community, people with whom we want to go deeper. We want to belong to them. In the Bible, this is the New Testament. Joel has taught on this so much, this word oikos, right? This Greek word where it's typically translated house or household, family. And it refers to the basic building blocks of the ancient society, this household, this network of relationships. And in their context and in the Greek, it's not like you and I think of this nuclear family. No, it's an extended family. And it's a family of faith. It's where Jesus is in the room with his disciples, and his brother and his mom actually come to the door and they're like knocking, or the disciples come and they say, "Your mom and your brothers are looking for you." And Jesus goes, "But who is my mother and my brothers? Is it not those who hear the Lord and follow him and do his will?" My paraphrase, right? He's not defining it by blood and nuclear. He's defining it by this family of God. And so this social space, these kind of mid-sized groups historically that are the building block of the church in the day and can be the building block of our church. There's personal space. Personal space is where we connect through private relationships. Personal space includes the smaller group. When we look at the scriptures, it's Jesus with the 12 disciples. This would have been Jesus' personal space. He spent a lot of time with them. He felt close with them. He slept on the rocks with them. He did all this stuff. It's a key area of discipleship if we want to go deeper. Moving from the public space, and then there's the social space, moving to this personal space where I'm known and being known. And that leads even to more so the intimate space. Intimate space is where we share our experiences, our feelings, our thoughts. Intimate relationships are those in which another person knows the naked truth about me and I can share it without feeling ashamed. It's this space that Jesus had with Peter, with James, with John. He invites them to come with him into the garden, into this personal space, this intimate space, excuse me. Why is it important to talk about this? There's one word I want to put in front of you. Canis, expectations. Thank you for the chuckles. I appreciate that. That lets me know you know exactly what I'm talking about, actually. See, church, here's the thing. If we're going to be intentional about our discipleship, we've got to remember what discipleship is. We've got to remember what the call is, this personal invitation to relationship within community, this promise of transformation that I have to respond to, and this higher vision of living a life on mission with Jesus. We've got to respond intentionally to that. And then we've got to allow ourselves to be put in the spaces to experience God's grace so that the transformation can happen. And I've got to have the right expectations as I go and step into these spaces. What do I mean by that? If I think that I can walk into this public space and it's going to be a space that's created and it's going to allow me to confess my sins and stand up here and feel unashamed in that, some people can do that. I often do that, and you guys go, why do you do that, or how do you do that? But not everybody can do that or should do that. And if you don't have an opportunity to practice confession in that regard and share life on life with people, you're going to be totally disappointed, right? You're going to walk out of here, this big space, and you go, oh, that wasn't for me. It didn't work. It didn't meet the need I had, the thing I'm wanting, the thing I desire. No, because, yeah, you're coming with an expectation into a public space. You're coming into an expectation that actually needs to be fulfilled in a private or intimate space or personal space. I'm going to mess up these four names, okay? Have grace. You get what I'm saying here. But yeah, when it comes to the practice of confession, sharing the deepest part of my heart with others, it's typically not going to work well, yeah, in this public or social space. It's going to happen in the personal or intimate. If we're expecting deep, intimate relationships in the public space, we're going to constantly be disappointed. But these spaces are important to engage in, again, to be reminded of the larger narrative and story of God. And out of these spaces, though, we can meet people and have connections that take us into the other spaces of discipleship. Does that make sense? You guys tracking with me? And just as much as the one-on-one, that intimate space is great and we all need it. See, the reason why he wrote this in partnership with a sociologist was he wanted to check and go, is this even clinically, sociologically true? Biblically, this is true. Scripturally, this model is here. But the way people are functioning, the way people are wired, is this even true? And the studies say, yeah, it is. We need these four spaces. We need to be interacting and moving. Again, that's part of us being dynamic. And so what does that look like? But what I would propose to you is this, is that the most important intimate space that you actually need and have is not another person that's embodied in the flesh. Well, he is, but he's just not on this plane of sight. It's with Jesus, church. Again, which how these connect and bring us back to, am I being intentional or unintentional in my discipleship and in my spiritual formation? It's Jesus. Jesus, the living word. The intimate person, the intimate space that you go to, that you run to. I have my wife. She's great and all. She's not Jesus. She cannot meet nor fill the desires and longings that I have the way that Jesus can. I have a group of guys that I met 3 years ago when I stepped into Conquer and led a group. We meet every single Thursday night, or as it flows. But for three and a half years, walking with these guys, that's my intimate space. They know my deepest, dark stuff, and it's not just about purity. It's about holistically. We've moved beyond that because it's holistic. And we were talking about all these things in our marriages, in our parenting, in our jobs. Like, it's holistic, but I can stand in front of them and I can tell them stuff and they embody Christ for me in that intimate space and they extend grace on me. But I can't step into even that space and step in there properly and rightly if I'm not first stepping into the space of intimacy with Jesus. You guys tracking with me? And so, Missio, this fall, as we step back into rhythms that, yes, need to look a little bit different because of the context we're living in, I get that. We've created space. We're intentionally creating spaces for discipleship and for connection. And we need to talk about these expectations because I want to invite you to step into them, but you need to step into them first with intentionality, and if you do, it's because you are being intentional, good for you. But secondly, with the right expectation. What am I stepping in here and actually expecting is going to happen in return? So we've got spiritual formation cohorts. There's one on kingdom longings. There's one specifically for men about unhurry up. There's one on evangelism, really about having spiritual conversations. Again, in this environment that you guys described, what does it look like for us as disciples of Jesus to step in there with the right posture and to be able to share and tell the good news? There's Missio Women's. There's weekly prayer on Sundays. There's going to be dinners for six. There's happy hours. We're piloting something called Missio Mentorship. And we've got 5 to 6 mentors that are men and women that are going to be paired up with 5 or 6 mentees, both men and women. And that invitation is still out there. Talk to Joel if you want to step into that space for your discipleship this fall. And then we've got missional communities. But church, you've got to take the onus on yourself. Jesus has extended the call to you. The grace has been extended to you. The invitation is there for you. Even the promise of transformation is there for you. But it's your response, just like as for them. What are you willing to let go of? As they had to let go of their nets, what are you willing to let go of in order to step intentionally into a space of discipleship that you know you need for the sake of your transformation, for the sake of your wholeness this season? And can I say this? And I hope that my leadership and my love for our community over the last 18 months lends me the ability to say this. And if not, send me an email or call me on it, whatever. You guys, COVID is here. COVID's here, right? We cannot be gripped by fear. I've told us all along, I will promise to lead us by wisdom and faith. Wisdom and faithfulness. And that has caused us to say we didn't meet for a whole year and a half. We just started meeting in May. We did a lot of our summer rhythms were for the sake of wisdom and faithfulness. Not get in here all the time, but get us outdoors, get us doing things. Masks, not an option. Windows, open. We've served at vaccine clinics. I encourage that. But here's the thing. Even all of that, we cannot put our hope in these things to be the thing that's going to all of a sudden make me feel safe or make me feel okay or make it feel like I can move on with my life. Jesus Christ alone is the hope of the world. Jesus Christ alone is the living hope. And Jesus calls us to wisdom and to faith, not to fear. And so I'm asking you today, as you think about your spiritual formation and your discipleship going forward into this world, again, I don't think COVID's going away for a while. And I think our expectation just needs to be we're living in a pandemic world. And so what does wisdom and faith call me to in response to Jesus and his invitation to me? His promise of transformation and the vision that he has set forth of this world that is whole, that is redeemed, that is restored only and through the love and the power of God. At work through his son Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and those of us who say we're disciples of Jesus. Please don't hear me say I'm calling us to stupidity. Please. Wisdom and faithfulness. Let's be honest about the things that are fear. Let's call it what it is. And hold that up to the Lord and say, Jesus, help me in wisdom and in faith to look at this thing and discern what would you have me do? How would you have me and invite me to be intentional about my discipleship, my formation going forward? Did I just offend everybody? It's really quiet in here. And here's what I want to invite you to think about. There's Henry Nouwen. He wrote a book called The Inner Voice of Love. And he said this in that book, which again, the inner voice of love, the Holy Spirit, needs to be at the core of our discipleship. He said this. He said, in everything, and I would add in every context, because we've been talking about context as being important for our discipleship, in everything, keep trusting that God is with you, that God has given you companions on the journey. Keep returning to the road to freedom. That's the vision that Jesus laid out in that invitation. Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Come and follow me, and I'll show you the way to freedom. On this journey, you need companions. And on this journey, ultimately, you need to be with me, with God. So in everything, keep trusting that God is with you, that God has given you companions on the journey. Keep returning to the road to freedom. Two things for application. I already spoke about one a little bit, but if we revisit the passage in Mark, we see again, Jesus extends the invitation, the promise, the vision, and they had to respond. And their response, and I believe ours often is too, they had to let go or release something in order to respond to Jesus fully. Missio, today, what do you need to let go of in order to intentionally respond to the gracious and loving invitation, promise, and vision of Jesus today and in this season? What is it that you need to let go of? Secondly, I want to share with you a quote or a picture about prayer. This is from Morgan Harper Nichols. She's a black singer, artist, author. She's awesome. And She wrote and says, in troubled times, I will close my eyes and I'll pray for my eyes to be open to what I can do. I love the simplicity of that because I feel there's a lot of power in that. She's a follower of Jesus, by the way. In troubling times, which we're living in, I will close my eyes and I'll pray for my eyes to be open to what I can do. See, again, if we live unintentionally, church, the environment that you guys described, that will form us. It'll cause us to be fearful, to be angry, to be divided, to be overwhelmed, to be ungracious, to be unloving, to look out for me. And it's going to feel very overwhelming, and we're going to feel like, I just can't do anything. So I'm just going to hole up, just going to bunker up, just going to care for me and my own, and that's enough. And I'm just going to wait until everything around me changes. I invite you this week, when you feel that way, close your eyes. Center yourself in Christ through the Holy Spirit. Breathe in the love of God, the Father, and ask yourself, or ask him, Father, what can I do? What are you calling me to do? And when he speaks, because he does, you now have a choice. Do I respond in faith and let go of that thing? Or do I continue to hold on and go my own way? Jesus, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you are the living God and that you came and you walked among us. You entered into our world. You did it then in a specific day, time, and context, and I believe you still do it now in our day, time, and our context. And God, we acknowledge today, Jesus, we acknowledge today, Holy Spirit, we acknowledge today, we need you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that though seasons change and times change, thank you that your love remains, that God, you are unchanging. And God, we need you. We come together in this public space to declare that, to acknowledge that, to be reminded of your grander narrative and story that you've invited us into. Thank you, God, that your grace extends out from your heart, that your love extends out from your heart. Your call for discipleship and relationship with you extends out from your heart, not to those who are gifted, who are talented, who have it all together, just certain few. But it extends out to all, often the lost, the last, the least, the lost. God, those who are willing in humility to acknowledge and say, yes, that's what I've been longing for. That's what I need. Relationship with the living God. Transformation through the living word. Empowerment by the Holy Spirit. A community that will call me up to be more than I am. Not because there's something necessarily wrong with it, because I acknowledge that I am not yet who God in Christ has created me to be. God, would we be a people of intention in this season? A people of faith, not of fear. A people of wisdom and of faithfulness, God. God, would you form and would you shape us in our inner being, in our inner parts? Speak. Give us ears to hear. Let our hearts and our minds be soft and formable by you, by your word, by your spirit. Thank you for the gifts, the skills, the talents, God, that are within this body of Christ, that you've entrusted to us to steward for the sake of one another's transformation and wholeness, and for the sake of this world coming to know you and being transformed. God, you hold out a vision that is beautiful, that is heart-grabbing, that is awe-inspiring. God, we long for it. We know it to be true. Lord, help us to live by faith with you day by day. And God, when we feel overwhelmed, would we remember we can close our eyes. We can breathe deeply in your love, and we can ask God, what would you have me do? Father, would you speak? Holy Spirit, would you make it clear? Jesus, would you show us then how you want us to follow you? Would we go forward in faith from this place and into this season? In Jesus' name.